Next Sunday, here in Westerville, there'll be a parade, right? Right down State Street, the Christmas parade. I've gone to it many a year, even some years when my kids weren't little anymore. Maybe because I don't know, I guess I'm a sucker for parades in some sense. Perhaps it goes back to my childhood when I can remember going to the 4th of July parade in my hometown. 90-100 degrees, sitting on the curb, looking down the street, seeing nothing, looking the other way, checking with my mom and dad, you sure it's coming from this way? I would look down there and wait anxiously for that parade to start. We never sat near the beginning of the parade, so it was already going full tilt by the time it would get to where me and my brother and later my sisters would sit, look down there, wonder when that parade is going to come. Antsy. That's what I was. Antsy. You know, I'd get up, step out in the street a step till my mom or dad dragged me back. Sit down on the curb, bounce around, look around. Well, of course, what's not to like about a parade, right? The music, the bands, the floats, the guys, the young guys riding great big bicycles, the old guys driving their little go-karts around, clowns making balloons and handing them out. Who doesn't like a parade, right? You know, I think about that as me sitting there waiting for the parade that hasn't begun yet, but I know it's coming, and realize that's really what Advent is, isn't it? Certainly my image of Advent, that we sit at the edge of the parade route waiting for the parade to come. With anticipation. Advent is all about anticipation. Christian author Frederick Buechner wrote that Advent is the extraordinary moment before something extraordinary happens. And that's what the church is all about, living in that extraordinary moment before something extraordinary happens. This is what we live for in the church. We wait for the extraordinary moment, the advent of our Lord Jesus Christ. We live awaiting that moment. Now, Advent has, for us in our society, a focus of Jesus' birth in the manger, the wise men coming, the shepherds, the angels, all those pieces that are part of it. And that's certainly part of the Advent, but part of the Advent as well is to remind ourselves that Jesus will return. We live awaiting that moment. In the early church, they called that time when Christ returns and looked forward to it. Later, they referred to it to the end times. Even later, theologians would call it the eschaton. Today, you might hear some Christians call it the rapture, but whatever it is called, the church has always, always lived with the concept that at some point God would complete creation. And it is for that moment that the church has waited and continues to wait. As I said, when I was a little kid, at a parade, we'd wait anxiously for that moment to come. When's the parade going to start, Mom? When's the parade going to start? 1 o'clock. I had no idea what 1 o'clock was. Kids don't have a concept of clock time. They just have a concept that it's going to happen. And that's the challenge, wasn't it, for my parents? Well, the parade started down there at 1 o'clock. I have no idea when it's going to get here. And so they say that famous parent phrase, soon. When's the parade going to get here? Soon. But that's the message of Advent, isn't it? We don't know when that parade will get here. We don't know when Jesus will return. We don't know when God will bring to fulfillment all that God has been at work up until this point. But what we know, it's coming. But we don't know when. And that's the challenge of Advent, isn't it? And Jesus understood this, that we want to know when. Soon isn't good enough when we're adults. We want to know the exact time and date, and Christians throughout the ages have tried to plot out the exact time and date of when Jesus would return. But we're not to know. Jesus tells us this in our passage this morning. But of that day and that hour, no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. But the difficulty of that statement is that the disciples wanted to know. We want to know. Because it's hard living with that uncertainty. It's hard to sit at the end of the edge of the parade, waiting for it, parade route, waiting for it to come. We are like a kid with a package that arrives maybe from grandparents a week before his birthday, and he can't open it to his birthday, right? The kid picks up the package, he measures it, he weighs it, he shakes it, smells it, but he can't open it, right? We would like to know more about what this end time is about, so we weigh it and measure it and shake it. And we lose sight of Jesus' words that says, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father only. For Jesus, the issue is a matter of trust. Can we focus ourselves on God and not the date? Can we focus on our discipleship and not our salvation? Can we wait and not lose our enthusiasm? In his novel, The Source, author James Michener pictures one small devout rabbi who lived in the time before Jesus. Every Sabbath, the rabbi was the first to arrive at the synagogue for worship. He wanted to get the choice seat where he would be the first to see the Messiah coming down the road. He approached every Sabbath with almost breathless anticipation in Michener's novel. He waited all day long. At the end of every Sabbath, he was always disappointed. And yet early on the next Sabbath, he could be found at his seat waiting once again with expectant hope. Christian author Thomas Sein writes, "When we fail to take time to wait in expectant hope, it is all too easy to be overwhelmed with all that is going wrong in our lives and in the world. We often forget that the one who acts on behalf of those who wait for God." Sein writes, "I am convinced that the greatest threat to our spiritual life is not sin, but despair. I suspect that's why Dante wrote about the first gate into Hades, 'Abandon all hope who enter here.' When we lose this expectant hope, then we tend to move towards despair. And if we move towards despair, then we begin to look at the calendar. And when we can't live with the uncertainty, we try to create our own certainty, predicting the day when Jesus will come and relieve us of all our troubles. Matthew reminds us that we must wait in hope for the advent of Christ. The tension we live in. Martin Luther, when asked what he would do if he knew for sure that Christ would come tomorrow, said, 'I would plant a tree.' For Luther is telling us that we wait with an active purpose in mind, active waiting, hopeful waiting, the reality of planting something that is long-lasting because he knew that you never know for certain that Christ will come tomorrow. What we know for certain that Christ will come. And in the meantime, God continues to work with us and through us and within this creation that God started oh so long ago. Thomas Sein suggests that we take seriously the invitation to wait this Advent season. Using his example, let me invite you to join in a discipline of waiting for Advent. Consider spending 15 minutes a day during this Advent season doing the following. First, wait before God by meditating on Scripture daily, meditating for the renewal of hope. Now, all Scripture is worthy of our review, but perhaps during this Advent season, it would be best to start with the first two chapters of the Gospel of Luke. Read a few verses every day and ponder them. They tell the story of the birth of Jesus, a familiar story, but also so rich in new insights into the blessings of God. Read these two chapters during the Advent season to help you become attuned to how God is working in our world today and in your life today, which leads into the second discipline for the season of Advent, and that is to watch for and listen for signs of hope in your life and in God's world. That may be signs of the loving advent of Christ. At the end of each day, take some time to identify the times during the day when you witnessed a sign of God's hope. It may have been the laughter of children, the song that was played on the radio, the beauty of a handmade nativity scene that you saw at a friend's house. It might be a bit of good news you saw on the news, or maybe it was the hard news, and yet within it you saw a sign of God's still at work. See if you can't find at least one time each day when God's presence was made manifest before you, and then thank God for those moments. And third, I invite you to consider the ways you can be a sign of hope for the rest of this world, by reaching out on behalf of those who are suffering this holiday season. This might be a neighbor who is freshly grieving the loss of a parent or a spouse or some other loved one. It might be helping someone who is in need. Maybe it's giving your time to work in a soup kitchen or decorate a neighbor's house. This may be just by intentionally spending time in prayer on behalf of the outcasts and the hopeless in our community. Advent season is a time of waiting, but not a desperate waiting, but an active, hopeful waiting. A waiting that trusts in the promises of God. A waiting that reminds us that that parade will make it here. And it'll be even better than we expect. Amen.